Okay, so today we will be talking about strengthening an organization's capacity to use data. We put this presentation as the last presentation in our series because it really is kind of an overview of how we have put all of our tools and capacity building strategies and other approaches together to address data demand and use at the organizational level. In the first, how many, seven or six webinars that we presented to you through this series, we focused on the specific tools to facilitate data demand and use. And then we also discussed in our last webinar the capacity building materials that we have. So this is really a nice way to kind of wrap up this eight-part series. So my name is Tara Nutley, and I am joined here today by Nicole Judice. We are both data demand and use specialists on measure evaluation. And we are also joined by Dauda Suleiman Dauda, who is in Nigeria. He is the country director for Futures Group, and he will be joining us today as well. For those of you that are not familiar with measure evaluation, we are a global project providing M&E monitoring and evaluation support, and we are funded by USAID. So before we get into the actual content today, let's just talk a little bit about webinars and troubleshooting. Some people will lose connectivity depending on your modem speed and all of that. If that happens, you can re-enter the meeting room by clicking on the webinar link provided. And if you have trouble with the audio, you can refer to the conference call instructions in the upper right-hand corner of your screen. For those of you based in the U.S., there is a call-in number. For those of you internationally, there's no other option. Sorry about that. But if you lose audio, this webinar is being recorded, and it will be posted on our website, so you'll be able to listen to it at a later date if you really can't hear well. You can also send an email to Leah Gordon at unc.edu, and she can try to help you troubleshoot if you have a problem. So, tips for participating in the discussion. During the first part where we are presenting, you will not have audio ability. So, if you want to get our attention, you can, or comment, or either of those things, you can click on the icon up at the top dark gray bar of your screen where you see a little person raising their hand. In there are options to where we can understand if you want us to slow down, speed up, you can't hear us, etc. So check that out if you want to comment. When it is time for the question and answer session, we will enable the microphone. So what you'll need to do is to speak into your microphone and be sure that it is enabled by clicking on the little microphone icon at the top of the screen. You can also, during the question and answer session, if you don't want to speak, you can type into the Q&A window that will be located at the top of your screen. And like I mentioned, a recording of the webinar will be made available at the website indicated. So the way we'll run today is we'll give you a brief overview of data demand and use. For those of you that have participated in these webinars before, we give the same overview. It's important to kind of put us all into context for those of you that are new today. Then we'll be giving you a presentation of the tools and the capacity building strategies we've used, give you a quick overview of those, and then we'll give you a field application. And then lastly, we'll have questions and answers, and then we will wrap up for the day. So let's quickly talk about why we are here today, why this topic of improving data-informed decision-making is important at this particular juncture in time. Well, we're all aware of the challenges involved in providing quality health services in the context where we work. In many countries where we have programs, these programs are facing a high disease burden, a growing population, inadequate numbers, and also poor distribution of qualified health workers. And all of this is happening in the context of an inadequate health system that's supposed to support the distribution of these services. So it's in this situation that it really becomes extremely important for us to make the best use of our limited resources. So in order to develop strategies, policies, and interventions that really are targeted and respond to these most urgent needs, we need to rely on data. It's data that will help us target and hone and be as efficient as possible. This idea is represented very nicely in this quote you see on this slide. This was from a national-level policymaker that we worked with in Nigeria. And he said, "Without information, things are done arbitrarily, and one becomes unsure of whether a policy or program will fail or succeed. If we allow our policies to be guided by empirical facts and data, there will be a noticeable change in the impact of what we do." Let's talk for a minute about definitions. We talk about data use, but really, what do we mean by data use? And what we mean is that in addition to what we're all familiar with of filling out reports and sending these reports to the appropriate people, which is critical with the data that we collect, it's very important that we get the data to the right people in terms of reporting and also dissemination, it isn't sufficient. That is not data use. While it's an important step in the data use process, what we're talking about is using data in the context of it being linked to a specific decision-making process. So that could be through monitoring of a program to determine if you're meeting your targets, your objectives, to determine if you need to change your program in any way. It could be when you're creating or revising a program or a strategic plan, developing or revising a policy, or advocating for a policy or new program. And lastly, allocating resources. So the idea here is that we're moving beyond reporting, we're moving beyond the dissemination of data and results to actually linking that data to the decision-making process. And then when we talk about data demand, we're talking about a situation where decision makers specify what kind of information they want and need to make a decision and then actively seeking it out. So the active participation of the decision maker in the data process. Here you see the measure evaluation data-informed decision making cycle. And this is a nice sort of graphic to help understand that we are talking about decision making, data-informed decision making, not as a one-time event, but really as a cycle. So the idea of a cycle here is that it starts with basic M&E systems improvement and the collection of data and information. And included in this collection of information is making that information available, easily accessible, and also in formats that are easily understood by the relevant stakeholders, so that they can interpret this information to be used in the decision-making process to improve programs and policies. And so this cycle supports the assumption that the more positive experiences a decision-maker has in using information to support a decision, the stronger the commitment will be to improving data collection systems, and thus continuing to use the information they generate and continuing this cycle, so that it really leads to and supports repeated data use. And you'll note that this cycle is supported in the orange circle by coordination and collaboration. Coordination, what we mean here, is really among data users and data producers, as well as between management systems and other organizational supports that facilitate and support data-informed decision-making. And that'll be a lot of what we talk about today. And lastly, the cycle is supported by improving the capacity of individuals to kind of ensure that this process exists and is functioning, you know, properly. So assuming that's the ideal, you know, you see the circle kind of continuing fluidly, but what makes that happen? Well, here we've laid out what we consider to be a very comprehensive approach to improving data-informed decision-making. You'll note in the bottom part of the of this diagram here that we have indicated monitoring and evaluation systems improvements. So any effort to improve the use of information really needs to be overlaid upon a foundation of improving M&E systems. They go hand in hand. You need quality data that's available to make decisions. This is part of regular M&E. Then it is overarched by this concept of data users and data producers. And by data users, we're referring to those that manage, plan, and monitor health service delivery programs. And by data producers, we're referring to those individuals that generate and manage the data stream. So they could be M&E specialists or researchers or others that occupy themselves with those specific duties. And then you'll see in between the three boxes. The first box being the tool application box, what we talked about in the first series, the first few of our webinars. We have a series of tools that can be applied to improve data demand and use. Then, of course, there's specific capacity building to grow individual skill sets. And then, lastly, is organizational supports. And those are the supports that can be implemented within an organization or a project to really support the other two boxes. So let's talk a little bit about, in detail, about the three boxes here. So when we talk about the tools, we're really talking about using them, you can use them in a rapid assessment approach. And as we discussed in the earlier webinars, we have a stakeholder engagement tool, we have an assessment of data use constraints tool, a rapid assessment tool, we have an information use map tool, and a framework for linking data with action. So these are some of the tools that we employ when we are conducting a rapid assessment, which we recommend before you embark upon developing specific interventions to improve data use. We've also used the strategies of observing management meetings and processes where decisions are made. It's good to understand how those function, where the gaps are, what the weaknesses are. And we've also, in our rapid assessment approaches, kind of qualitatively discussed needs and constraints to data use and data collection with the strategic information team or the M&E team. So that's also very important. And we've also, in our rapid assessment approach, conducted site visits to understand how kind of the periphery uses data and what their constraints to data use are. In terms of capacity building, we have a set of global training resources, and we talked about what those were last week, but I will quickly review them for those that did not participate last week. We address issues of data-informed decision-making, kind of the key concepts there, and how to apply the tools that we've developed. We look at data analysis, interpretation, presentation, communication, and use. We cover providing feedback and sharing information, developing action plans, and identifying commitments to strengthening data use. So these are some of the key topics that we cover in our global DDU training resources. And of course, also how to implement the tools to facilitate data use. The next kind of area of work is this organizational support. And here we are starting to kind of experiment with mentoring and coaching as a very important strategy to kind of engender a culture of data use. We look at strengthening feedback mechanisms, how to share data, not just reporting it up the information hierarchy, but also talking about how to then take that information and share it back down from the national to the regional, the district to the facility, but also then kind of sharing across. So that could be between districts, between facilities, et cetera. This sort of feedback is important to really encouraging the frontline data collectors and those that aggregate data to continue to do a good job. We also are using data use supportive supervision checklists. That's also a new tool we are experimenting with. And then we talk a lot here in this section of institutional support of institutionalizing our tools. And some of these tools, such as the information use map and the framework for linking data with action, really should be implemented regularly, at regular intervals, to kind of support the action of using data in decision making. So if an organization adopts them and institutionalizes them, you're more likely to really build this culture of data use. And lastly, we believe in documenting data use. With any intervention, which is what we consider data demand and use activities to be, it's a specific intervention, you need to understand how those interventions contribute to improvements in data-informed decision-making and improved service delivery. So M&E around these activities is also very important. So that's kind of a quick overview to help you understand how we've put these pieces together in a comprehensive approach. And now Nicole Judice will walk you through an example of specifically how this was done in Nigeria in a PEPFAR service delivery project. Nicole?
Thanks, Tara. Measure evaluation in the early stages of developing these tools and approaches and this organizational focus needed to find an organization that was willing to help us test this package of tools and approaches within their own organization. And through our interaction with a project called AIDS Relief, a global project, in our work in Nigeria, we found that this would be a great opportunity to apply our tools and approaches that Tara described and that we've heard about over the last several webinars within an organization at different levels, from the central level to the facility level, and learn from that process. So we worked in Nigeria with the AIDS Relief team, as well as with the AIDS Relief team that focuses on M&E in Washington, D.C., to learn about the project before we went out there. We learned that there was a large amount of data being collected. This is across service delivery projects, and these data were feeding into the national RHIS. Data were not being used effectively at the site level or within the project, and that at the time there was a pervasive mistrust of data. In some cases, that was due to actual lapses in quality, and other times it was due to a misunderstanding of what the data were supposed to mean. There was a lack of understanding of how these data coming from service delivery sites could be used at different levels, from the service delivery level on up. And there was a lack of understanding of how the key indicators that were being reported to PEPFAR and key indicators that were being monitored within the project were actually calculated and how they could be used for program improvement. So just to remind you of our approach here, we first looked at a rapid assessment approach, beginning with some conversations at the global project level and moving to the country level. We then developed a capacity building plan collaboratively with the project, and provided some recommendations on organizational support that the organization could continue to implement. And with the rapid assessment, the first phase was before we had any workshops or our large-scale meetings with the project. We held a discussion. We had a discussion with the AIDS Relief strategic information team, or M&E team, that was on the ground in Nigeria. They're based in Abuja, and they provide assistance to many sites across Nigeria, many facilities across Nigeria. They had a strong understanding of what was going on at the site level as well as at the central level. They understood how data would flow through the project and on up to donors in the national level. And they also had an understanding of how data were currently being used at those different levels. We were able to apply the information use map with the AIDS Relief SI team to help chart out how these data were flowing through the system. And the information use map, if you want more information on that tool, we had a webinar about that tool specifically, and you can find that on the website, on the measure evaluation website. We then observed what was termed a dashboard meeting, or a program management meeting, at the central project level in Nigeria. This includes program managers, it includes the M&E or SI staff, and it includes clinical advisors. And all of these individuals would come together to look at data, to discuss current issues with the project, and develop some resolutions. This was often quarterly, I believe. And then we also conducted two site visits to different parts of Nigeria to understand how data were being used at the site level, how data were being collected and analyzed, if they were receiving any feedback, how that feedback was being used. In phase two of the rapid assessment, we brought together the group at the central level, program managers, clinical advisors, and the SI team, to conduct their own self-assessment. They had small group discussions using the assessment of data use constraints and using a framework for linking data with action, two of the tools that were also presented during the webinar series. And through these discussions, they were able to identify some of the barriers that they have on the project. Some of these they were already aware of, but hadn't fully linked them to data use. Other barriers, the entire team may not have been fully aware of. And the framework for linking data with action was a very important tool to use in this rapid assessment process, because it helped groups identify what questions they really had, what they really wanted to know about. And they learned that they were able to ask these questions of the SI team and were able to get answers to them. Previously, they may not have asked for all the different data that they asked all of their questions, because they thought only the monthly reports were available to them. But they learned that there was much more data available. The capacity building process was guided by this rapid assessment. And following the assessment, Measure Evaluation worked with the AIDS Relief SI team to devise what we felt would be the most responsive and contextually appropriate capacity building plan. This was approved within the AIDS Relief team. And we held three workshops with data producers and data users at that central AIDS Relief Nigeria level, with facility-based M&E officers, M&E officers based at each of those sites, and with the facility-based program managers, or on the project they're called program coordinators. And these were the people that oversee oversee the AIDS Relief funded services at that facility. We applied the DDU global training resources using small group discussions and applying different tools. We discussed the importance of M&E and program management, and I think that this was a very important session. It is a very important session in our in our DDU training resources when we bring together data users and data producers, and they find common ground in M&E. Oftentimes, as many of you are aware, M&E may not be fully understood by program managers or leadership in an organization. It may be seen more as policing rather than something that can be truly useful and supportive of program management. And so this session is always very important to bring both sides together around program improvement and M&E for program improvement. We also had hands-on exercises in analysis and interpretation and in developing feedback mechanisms. Also, one of the gaps that we had identified in the rapid assessment was a full understanding of performance indicators on the project. And so we included a session where the AIDS Relief SI team really described all of the key indicators that represented quality of services and represented a facility's performance on the program and explained those to each of the groups trained. We then provided organizational support, different forms of organizational support. We provided a set of recommendations to the Central Office of AIDS Relief Nigeria and to the SI team. Some of these recommendations included adjustments to how the dashboard meeting or program central program management meeting took place. For instance, oftentimes the program managers that were at the dashboard meeting would see the data for the first time at that meeting. And perhaps they had received the data before by email or in hard copy, but had not fully reviewed and digested that data until the time of the occasion of this meeting. The SI staff would present it to them, and there would often be grumblings or discussions about accuracy of the data. We recommended that program managers could present the data for their own sites, and this would require the program manager to read and understand the data first, and it would allow the program manager the opportunity to comment on the particular issues that they're seeing at the site, exchange best practices, ask questions of other program managers. We felt it would build accountability and ownership among the program managers for the data at their sites, and also that it would be more likely to result in the program manager using data regularly in their own facility supervision and management. We also recommended a collaborative approach to supervision and feedback at the facility or site level. So these program managers, clinical advisors, and SI team members were assigned to different facilities. Sorry. They were assigned to different facilities, and at the facility level, oftentimes they would travel separately and exchange some information. We rather suggested that they share information across the team who are supporting each facility more strategically and find ways to encourage the facility in each other's areas. So one example of that would be if a program manager is traveling to a facility or site to provide oversight and supervision, they could also meet with the M&E officer. They could ask about if data is being used at the facility. They could ask about some of the indicators and if anyone has questions about the indicators. And they could also discuss feedback and discuss some of the indicators and performance indicators that are being seen at that specific facility. We recommended that they do a little bit more to share lessons learned between facilities to address issues, and that dashboard meeting was, you know, the first line opportunity for that, but then to continue to find ways to share experiences between and among facilities.
Excuse me for interrupting, but those of you on the phone, can you please mute your phone so we don't hear you? Thank you. Sorry, continue, Nicole.
And finally, the DDU supportive supervision checklist was provided. This is a tool that can be used at the program and facility level to guide a program manager or an M&E manager's process of supporting a team to use data, to demand and use data. Hello. I'm sorry, we're having a lot of feedback from people on the phone that do not have their microphone on mute. So we'd like to ask everyone to mute their microphone. On anyone who's on the telephone should please mute the line. So we also conducted 6th and 12-month evaluations after the workshops that we conducted. These were online surveys with workshop participants, and we also provided opportunities for participants to fill out the survey in hard copy or in electronic Word format and send it in by email. These surveys were based on retrospective reporting about improvements that had been made compared to before the workshop. So this is just a sample of the data that we collected at 12 months among the M&E officers based at the facility level. At the 6-month period, we had 100% response rate. At the 12-month period, because of attrition and of M&E officers, the response rate was a bit lower. But these questions were asked in a way that would find out how their participation in the workshop had affected improvements in data use at the facility level. So we see here that 55% at 12 months of the M&E officers reported that they are now presenting data graphically compared to before the training, that 76% of them are now assisting decision makers at their facility with interpretation of these graphs and of the data that are in the monthly reports. 85% were now aware of their facility using information from their monthly report, and this is compared to prior to the workshop. 86% had implemented solutions to some of the barriers that they had identified at their facility, and 95% had the occasion to explain indicators to some of their colleagues at the facility level and explain the relevance of these indicators to service delivery and program improvement. We also collected qualitative information through these surveys, and we heard several examples of how M&E officers and program managers had been able to strengthen service delivery at this site. In this case, an M&E officer at an ART facility said that he presented a report that showed a high number of clients that had been lost to follow-up and told the facility managers that this shows that we are not actually doing home visits appropriately to track clients. So he asked for permission to coordinate home visit activities, and now there's an active home visit team in the facility. Our collaboration with AIDS Relief was very strong. AIDS Relief fully funded the capacity building and training strategy, while Measure Evaluation provided technical assistance and trainers during these events. The new project leadership at the time when we were conducting the rapid assessment and then delivering the capacity building and training strategy really promoted strategic information and a use for data for program improvement. And there was a lot of excitement around data use. We also found that compared with the initial meetings that we had attended, that the atmosphere and communication at the management meetings were very collaborative and more productive when it comes to discussing the data that was presented. So now I'd like to ask Dauda, Suleiman Dauda, we have him on the the line here from Nigeria, and he leads the SI team and is also the country director for Futures Group in Nigeria. I'd like to ask him to provide us a little more detail and grounding in reality on things that have changed within AIDS relief to improve data use over the years. Dauda?
I'd also like to add that Dauda is connecting with us from Nigeria, so there might be a delay, and we could potentially lose him. please be patient.
Okay, hello everyone. Right, good. So one of the first things we did to ensure that data demand and use got the attention it deserved on our project was to basically assign that role to one of our staff, one of our SI associates. So that staff had the role of coordinating all DDU activities and processes. And these duties would have included data analysis, trending of graphs from the Track 1.0 CDC quarterly report that we submit to CDC in Atlanta quarterly, and coordinating our quarterly M&E forum. Now, getting to the M&E forum, that's a forum that we instituted earlier on to get the M&E officers from the sites that we work with. Maybe Nicole mentioned that we've worked with about 35 facilities spread across the country. And so quarterly, we get these M&E officers together in one location, which is mostly here in the capital in Abuja, and we have a forum where they come together, and sometimes we do invite state-level officials that are also involved in monitoring and evaluation at the state-level agencies to come and attend these fora. Here, the M&E officers come and review some of the data that they've been submitting over the past quarter, share experiences. For those ones who are doing well, they are able to present the best practices to share these best practices with those sites that are not doing so well. Now, also on a monthly basis, these sites would submit reports to the Central AIDS Relief Office here in Abuja, which then disseminated to our funder, that is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the Nigerian government. Now, when they submit these reports, what we would do is, after having validated these reports, we would feed those reports into what we call our feedback template. So this is a template which picks up certain specific important indicators for all program areas that they report on. And we have what we call quality performance indicators. So for each program area, we decided to pick some 3, 4, or 5 performance indicators, basically just to show them where they have issues and where the program area is doing well. So for every performance indicator, there would be a quality threshold. For some indicators to be 100%, for example, if you had, say, during the month, if you had 100 women being registered at antenatal services presenting for ANC, you would want to see that all that 100% of all these women got HIV counseling and testing. So the threshold for that quality indicator would be 100%. Anything less than 100% would show up in red. So if an indicator is okay, it shows up on the template green. But if the percentage is less than the threshold that we expect for quality, it shows up in red. So that immediately, looking at all program areas, you can immediately, for every particular site, on a monthly basis, see what program areas are doing well and what program areas need some attention or need improvement. So we send back these feedback templates to them monthly. On a monthly basis. Now, the program, the M&E officers at the sites use that information for their PMT meetings. The PMT is the program management team. So at every facility, there's a program management team who typically would have the site M&E officer, the clinicians, the administrator, some of the nurses, the pharmacists, and lab people. And so they would form a team that would meet on a monthly basis to look at that site's data, what they are producing per program area, and look at those areas where the threshold has not been met, where the indicator, the percentage for the indicator is red. And they will try to see where how that happened and how they can address it. I can give you a few examples. There were some sites where there was a problem with prescription of cotrimoxazole prophylaxis for HIV positive clients. They never knew that the problem was there because the clinicians were not really prescribing cotrimoxazole for all the clients. But since that indicator was showing red for these sites over a long period of time, they began to pay attention to why it was showing red. And it was because some of the clinicians were not aware that this needed to be done for all the clients that they were seeing that were not on ARVs. And so they were able to address it and subsequently change it to a green indicator. In other places, the problem was high loss to follow-up rates. Clients would start drugs, but then over time, for one reason or another, not come back for their drugs, for their refills. And so that one would for these sites, the graph that shows the numbers of clients placed on drugs versus the numbers of clients active on drugs for a particular month would show a divergence. And so when the site saw this, that there was a trend a divergent trend in the numbers of clients coming back for their drugs, they discovered that they had a problem. And for most sites, that problem was that there was no tracking system, there was no home visit system. So if a client really felt so sick that he couldn't come back to hospital for drugs, they would not know that because they were not tracking, they were not following up, lost to follow up clients. But having that data at their hands for the monthly PMT meetings, they were able to see that the problem existed and subsequently took steps to address the issues. So at the central level, now we would usually have a quarterly CTCT meeting. A CTCT is the Country Technical Coordinating Team, which would consist of the consortium members on the project, which is clinical associates from the Institute of Human Virology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, program managers from the Catholic Relief Services, and the SI folks, that's us from Futures Group. So what we do here is basically the same thing. It's basically a replication of what happens at site level on a monthly level, on a monthly basis. That is the PMT meeting. But what we do here is we look at data from all the sites and then try to see what sites are performing well for which program areas and what sites are not performing well, and then try to find out the reasons why some sites perform better than others in the particular program areas that they do, and then see whether there are any good practices, any best practices that can be adapted from one site to another to see that they improve on these parts where they're doing not so well. Also, our DDU processes have led to the fact that the clinical advisors from the Institute of Human Virology would come back with more demand for more data on other program areas because they would have some certain questions that they want to answer for certain clinical trends that they're observing in certain sites, or if they would require to do some more research into some other questions. So all this is as a result of all the data DDU process that we have put in place. Thanks.
Thank you, Dauda, for explaining how you applied kind of comprehensive in Nigeria. That was great. So we're going to have question and answers now. So for those of you that have questions about the Nigeria example or the approach in general, please go ahead and type your questions into the question and answer pod, which has opened up here on your screen. We'll take a few minutes for people to type their questions. Looks like there might not be any questions. So I actually have a question for Dauda. Are you still there, Dauda, I hope? If not, Dauda? Okay, maybe I'll wait and see if Dauda is...
Yeah, I'm still here.
Ah, I'm great. Here. Okay, great. I was wondering, can you tell us a little bit about the central team meetings? I'm wondering how you managed to kind of make those regular and kind of, you know, one of the things that we talk about in creating a culture of data use is this regular interaction between the data users and the data producers. And I think everybody has the best intention many times to have regular meetings, but they don't always happen. How did you prioritize this and give that opportunity for people to really sit down and discuss data and exchange kind of best practices? We might be having a problem getting data back. While we're waiting, there is another question that has come in that I will ask. This is from Derek Capura. He asks, how can data be translated into meaningful policy and program improvements in the case of Nigeria? Nicole will answer this question for us since we can't get data.
Thank you, Derek, for your question. We've had some examples at that program improvement level within AIDS relief. For instance, that facility that I mentioned in the presentation that's developed a tracking system for their clients with home visits for those that are unable to make it. we've also had improvements in the provision of cotrimoxazole when facilities reviewed the data and found that patients weren't actually receiving cotrimoxazole, they were able to initiate or reactivate the program to improve provision of that prophylaxis. We've seen improvements within other organizations as well. For instance, within an OVC program in Nigeria, we conducted some workshops and a rapid assessment within an OVC program, and they were able to strengthen both their M&E function on the project, strengthen how they were collecting data, how they were interacting with their program volunteers and sites, and also improve the quality of the services being provided to OVC. At the policy level, we have examples from a variety of different countries, both on the measure evaluation project, but also on other projects. For instance, we've seen through modeling, through the use of modeling spreadsheets and modeling presentations, how we can use data at the policy level to advocate for certain issues and certain interventions. We've seen resources mobilized, for instance, around family planning and resources mobilized around improved drug procurement and logistics based and thus, you know, family planning commodity procurement. We've seen that based on modeling and presentations around family planning. Okay, I see a few other questions have come in. One here is from David Obisisan. Can you please talk more on the CTCT? What are the objectives? I believe that we've lost Dauda. I'm going to try and type in the question to him. But basically, David, you're asking about the central team meeting that is held within AIDS Relief Nigeria that brings together the central program managers, the SI team, and clinical advisors. Dauda, are you there and able to respond to this question?
I think our problem here is, in addition to dropping data once in a while.
I guess the question was from Tara was how we were able to prioritize the CTCT meetings, right?
That's correct.
The AIDS Relief Project really was a consortium of consisting of So the AIDS Relief Project was a consortium consisting of CRS, which was the prime partner, that had responsibility for site management as well as the finances, and then the technical partner for clinical technical assistance was University of Maryland School of Medicine, and then Futures Group did the SI parts. Now, since we were a consortium, part of all our work plans was to institute was to have these regular CTCT and dashboard meetings. So they are part of all our schedules. So on a quarterly basis, everyone knows that at a certain time in the quarter that there was going to be a CTCT meeting. So we had everyone come in, even from the regional offices to Abuja here, where we sat down and looked at all the data and look at all the financial data as well as the patient data as well as the site level data, and decided on resource allocation, decided on clinical strategy and other things within those meetings. So they were part of our annual work plan. Every year as we did our work plans, we had those dates for these meetings fixed so that no one was going to be unavailable at those times. So that was how it was prioritized, because that was basically, CTCT is the basic avenue through which the consortium membership could run the project, so to speak.
Okay, thank you, Dauda. I'm going to repeat just the main idea of what Dauda was saying.
Okay, so the objectives of CTCT is basically to provide an avenue where all senior management from SI, from the clinical side, as well as program management, could have a forum where they could sit together and review project activities in terms of clinical, in terms of the data that's being produced, in terms of financial activities, and that because CRS was responsible for providing funds to the sites to carry out the project activities as stipulated in the contract. But on a quarterly basis, we all have to sit down and review all these activities, and sometimes we have to reallocate resources, and sometimes we have to realign our plans to see that we reach set targets. So CTCT is basically the coordinating body for the project in across all the 35 facilities that we've been working with.
Okay, thank you, Dauda. I just want to repeat the main ideas of what Dauda was saying, so that excuse me, for those of you on the line who may not have heard all of that. Dauda was saying that the main objectives of the CTCT meetings are to bring all of these central stakeholders together that support different parts of the project, to help them to discuss issues such as resource mobilization, resource allocation to the different facilities, to discuss lessons learned and share best practices, and make program management decisions for both the facility level and within the central level. And he provided some examples of how these discussions have improved the quality of services at the facility. And have improved, the efficiency and effectiveness with which they work at the central project level. So we have one other question here that I see from Eric Gears of Measure Evaluation. He says, what has been some of the feedback from the 35 facilities on the monthly reports? Are they helpful or are they a burden? And I'm going to go ahead and take that, just because we're here at the end of our webinar time slot. But I want to underscore that, first of all, the facilities are required to produce monthly reports as a part of receiving funding from a donor organization, they're required to report on progress and achievements. And these monthly reports, you know, can be just passed up through the central project level and to the donor and national level. But there's also the opportunity to use these monthly reports in discussions at the program management meeting and for program improvement. And I think that, you know, on, I don't think this is only true for AIDS relief, but I think it's also true for other projects that I've worked with in Nigeria and in other countries, that oftentimes M&E can be seen as a burden until the data is found to be useful to the organization, to the facility, or to the project. Often these reporting, the reporting deadlines, the reporting rigor can be seen as a burden. But the process of demonstrating how the data that are being collected can be useful at that site level, at the programmatic level, and even at the policy level once aggregated, this can help a lot, not only with improving the quality of data, but then also stressing the importance of M&E for data users and data producers. I'm sure that Dauda could provide some examples of that, but I know he did talk about the improved feedback mechanism, for instance, on AIDS relief, and how that feedback mechanism has helped facilities to better understand the data that they are collecting and compiling, and also using that data for quality improvement and program improvement. So thank you very much for all of your questions. If you have any other questions, you're welcome to get in touch with us. You can also access this webinar online, and you can access the DDU tools and DDU training curricula that we described in this webinar. You can find those on the Measure Evaluation website as well. You'll see on your screen there's a box at the bottom left that says Online Resources, and you can click on these links to go to our Data Demand and Use page, to find our Data Use Network, our webinar series, the Measure Evaluation page, and a fact sheet or a brief that we've developed based on this presentation that describes more fully the process that we took. Here you see on your screen some directions for joining Data Usenet. We encourage.
And I'd like to add that we would like to hear from you as well. You'll notice that a box opened up on your screen called Closing Comments. We encourage everyone, if you wouldn't mind, to please provide us with your email. We would love to get in touch with you at a later date to ask you a couple questions about if you have used any of the tools, resources, etc., that have been covered in today's webinar or the previous ones that you've been listening to, or even that you've accessed from our website.